Hello, and welcome back to the Adam Sam Explain Why It's So Not Our Fault podcast.
Excited to hear why it's so not your fault.
I think actually we should start with you, Ben. How about you start by explaining why it's so not our fault?
Well, as sort of a longtime lover and our oldest sort of Apple Maps proponent, I would say it's your fault for not having listened to me sooner.
Whoa. That is so not what this podcast is for, Ben.
That's true. This is a podcast about how it's not our fault, and you've immediately violated the premise of the podcast.
That's fair enough. But yeah, it's not your fault. It's Google. Google, we're calling you out. You wouldn't know that, though, because the layover is on YouTube.com.
Look, big tech, not great.
Right. Not like Apple. Apple, which is not big tech. Right.
They're medium tech. I don't know.
Of course. Look, it's tough stuff. It's tough stuff for us. It's a tough situation. I mean, here's the thing that I really just think that you, the audience, gotta understand. And it's that we are not looking at the same maps that you're looking at when you watch the show. Like, when it starts to get to a really small area, like, we are doing our best, but we just do not have the information laid out quite as clearly and cleanly as you do. I think it's easy for you, the audience, to be like, well, look, you've eliminated basically the whole area. You need to reconsider this. And then it's like, well, like, we didn't realize that. We're, like, still checking, rechecking all this stuff. It's just tough.
All of the information is squishier because there's basically just always the possibility that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In defense of the ultimate mistake here, I know that it would be easy for the audience to look at this and characterize it as the exact same mistake that Ben and I made at the end of Hide and Seek 1.
I'd say it's not.
But it actually was not. Because that was genuinely our mistake. That was not Google Maps's. Because what happened there was that effectively we had decided that we were going to look at all the options out of the various kind of big stations that Ben could have gotten to on a high-speed line and look at like the local lines he could have transferred onto. And we had eliminated one station because he could not have gotten to it on a local line, failing to recognize that he could have gotten to it on the higher speed line, the same station. So that was not actually Google Maps' fault. Google Maps was the tool to our mistake in that case. This was the first instance, at least I had ever encountered, of Google Maps just straight up not showing you the fastest route between one location and another.
Straight up wrong. Yeah.
Well, we know why now, at least. We've figured out what the problem is. We figured it out after this happened in the season, and we were able to be like, okay, we know to not trust Google on certain things. But it's because, like, they know that the Shinkansen costs more money, and so they never suggest taking it for a sort of short duration.
Or for a trivial improvement in how long it would take.
Right, exactly. Like, right. Admittedly, our use case here is really weird, where we're like, it really matters if someone can get somewhere 4 minutes faster or not. And, like, even if they pay another $80 to do it. Well, actually, what's weird is that we didn't have to pay another $80 to do it because we all had JR passes, so it was all the same to us.
Right.
But Google is like, well, that would be crazy to do. You should just take the local line and get there a little bit slower.
Yeah, which I do wonder if this is a new thing, because I was noticing this. I was in London last week, and I was pulling up directions to Heathrow Airport, which the main way you get to Heathrow is you take the Heathrow Express via Paddington. But the Heathrow Express is wildly expensive for how long it is. It's a 15-minute train, and it's £25. So Google was routing me onto the much cheaper options via like the Tube or the Elizabeth line.
Yeah.
And it would show me the Heathrow Express, but it wouldn't default to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the default thing was the longer, slower lines. And the interesting thing was like, you know how in the top bar, It will show you like driving 50 minutes, transit 1 hour, this one, whatever, walking this long. The top bar would show me the longer time, not the Heathrow Express time. It would show me the longer time via the cheaper lines. Mm. So I've never noticed that in the past. Maybe it was just because of Vic's experience, but like, I wonder if Google Maps is like changing to be more cost conscious or whatever.
Sure.
It's just weird that there's not like a setting for it. Cause that was what was really frustrating is that even after we knew this was true, we couldn't force it to do what we wanted.
Right.
Apple Maps seemingly didn't do it. I'm sure there are other transit apps that don't do it. But like, if you're using Google, you kind of have to go step by step. And this is actually why, like, I didn't realize that this was a possibility for you guys. I mean, I guess I realized that it was always a possibility, but like, I didn't realize that that route wouldn't have shown up because when I was going there, I was going leg by leg. I didn't know that I wanted to go to Izukogen, right?
Right.
When I left.
Right.
I got on the train, and then when I got to Tokyo, I got on another train, and then I got on another train, and then I got there. So I didn't realize that it was as tricky as that.
And I do actually have a confession.
Whoa.
I actually did, in retrospect, notice this before this episode. Because I remember when I was going to Narita, I knew which route I wanted to take. I knew I wanted to take the Shinkansen to Tokyo Station and then take the Narita Express because I knew that that would be like the nicest route because I knew that the Shinkansen, you know, you have nice, it's never too busy, you know, open seats. I knew that the Narita Express was a similar deal. But there was a slightly slower route that went more geographically direct on clearly much cheaper lines. And I remember in retrospect thinking like, oh, it's weird that Google won't show me this slightly faster Shinkansen route.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember that in retrospect, but it never, obviously in the moment, like never clicked for me in this episode. So it was not the only instance that this happened. And it was frustrating for me to think back and realize that I'd recognized this before. But
Sam, it's getting dangerously close to sounding like it may not have been their fault.
No, it's Google's fault.
On this podcast of all podcasts. But no, it's Google's fault.
Look, it was a tough situation. And I would also say, you know, we did not handle it as well as we could have. Yeah. I would say that our second tentacles were a total panic move.
Yeah.
That if you actually look at the map, were a crazy thing to do. But I think that when you get to a point like that, you're just sort of so panicked and you just are like, clearly, I've gotten something wrong. I don't know what I've gotten wrong. I'm just so desperate to cling on to anything. Like, I'll take on whatever cost card-wise is needed to just get me back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, whatever. Like, let's just do another tentacle. Like, we were just desperate to figure out what the hell was going on.
I certainly agree that, like, we could have responded because like in retrospect, I think what I found frustrating with how we played it was that like all of the remaining options looked so wrong.
Right.
And where Ben ultimately was, we continued to think
exactly where we thought he was to start with.
Yeah. So like the gut feeling was like where Ben ultimately was right, but we thought we had excluded it.
Right.
And where we were going to search was wrong. But we technically hadn't excluded it objectively, so we had to go check. Whereas, like, in retrospect, I think it would have been much smarter to, like, follow our gut opinions more and validate, you know, like, find a way to, like, recheck that line to the south.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like, what I will say is that, like, I think our gut opinions were often pretty right in this season.
Yeah.
Kind of across the board. And if anything, some of our mistakes were being a little bit too logic oriented over like just kind of like what feels right
to an extent.
Certainly not in all cases, but like in some cases, I think.
Sam is such a hippie when he plays hide and seek. It's crazy.
Look, I don't want to deal with the maps.
You would think that he would be much more procedural with these things, but no.
Yeah.
He's purely vibes based.
But the vibes work.
Look, what I'll say is, you know, we sort of alluded to this before, but it's crazy that what, like 4 hours earlier, we attempted to get on the correct train, rolled the wrong thing, and then went on an insane odyssey where we like thought we eliminated it. Like, we were so close to just going to Ben, and he would have had, like, the shortest time.
Yeah.
Totally. Because that happens before any of this happens, and you just roll for it just to see.
No.
And it's a no. So, if anything, the jam door saved me here in a really weird kind of way, where it just sort of, like, gently coaxed you away from doing that.
Look, the jam door.
Yeah.
That's clearly your card.
You with the jammed door.
Truly.
Yeah.
It's my meta.
Yeah, you with the damn jammed door. I mean, I'll also say, like, it was a big mistake for us to re-ask the same line question. Like, we didn't even realize we had already asked it when we asked it again, but then Ben got to draw two, got to do double the reward for that. Like, that was crazy. Like, it was a tough situation. And then also the fact that, like, we then lost, like, an hour because of a storm.
Well, we should probably start talking through things somewhat chronologically, because we've kind of just started with, like, a 15-minute long rant.
Sorry. Yeah, we started by going crazy. I also do want to address up top, I think some people are going to be disappointed by the fact that this episode's a little short. And so I do think it's worth acknowledging, like, we talked a lot about this. We considered putting the beginning of my run onto the end of this episode. We ultimately felt that it would be a worse storytelling choice.
Yeah, it was just too weird. There's like no good out earlier in your run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were forced between, we could have done Ben's run in one like hour and 40 minute or something episode, which felt crazy. Or we split it up. Or we do something really weird, and we felt like the best storytelling decision was to split it up. And so that was what we did.
Yeah. So anyway, so we start roughly with Ben having a delightful looking lunch.
That was really weird. Well, I was just pointing to things on the menu that like I recognized. It was like a katsu sandwich and a French onion soup and a boba. It was great.
Mm. It's an eclectic mix.
Yeah.
I'm a big katsu sandwich fan. That was like one of my go-tos this season. And we had the most delightful katsu sandwich just before leaving after the season ended. You remember that?
Oh my God, yeah. That was great.
I think it was A5. It was a little bit of an end of season treat.
It was. It was. It was amazing.
We went to this place in Tokyo, A5 Wagyu katsu sandwich.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Which I didn't even know you did katsu with steak, but it turns out, yeah. And it turns out you can do it with A5.
It turns out you can, and it turns out it's awesome. Well, Ben and I also got amazing katsu before the season started at a place called Katsuyoshi.
Oh, right.
In Tokyo, and that was awesome, too. We tried to go there, but like it was closed the day we wanted to go.
That place was so cool. If you're in Tokyo, you should go to that place, because it's really, really, really fun.
Yeah, that place is awesome.
Anyway, big katsu sandwich fan. And I also now see the teddy bear that you were referencing last layover podcast in the background.
Oh, yeah, in the train station, yeah.
Yeah.
While you're eating your sandwich.
Yeah, there were teddy bears at the other tables. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Anyways, so Adam and I take the Kanema line very quickly. Not it. We get off. We wait. We go back. And yeah. So, I mean, pretty much the next thing, Ben, why are you in the woods? You're looking for hiding spots.
Yeah. Well, sort of looking for hiding spots, sort of looking for a snake.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. Also looking for the snake. Yeah.
Sort of looking for a frog. It was quite annoying because I had seen a snake earlier that day, but I was not able to find one. I really think that that could have done crazy numbers in terms of delays.
Yeah, that would have been tough. Yeah.
If you guys would have had to find a wild reptile or an amphibian, but I was not able to.
Yeah, very possibly would have pushed this round into the next day.
Well, I was thinking, I was trying to figure out when, you know, the day was starting to get close to the end that like, there was a point at which neither of you could have really gotten viable. Like, if I had gone past, I guess, halfway through the next day.
Yeah.
It would have just been the end of the game.
Yep.
Well, no, because we had the provision about last day could go.
Yeah, the final day can go infinitely long.
I guess. Yeah.
But yeah.
But either way, we were getting dangerously close to Sam, you getting boxed out of your last run.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was very much a possibility.
Which, it's worth acknowledging, when we were setting up this season, we didn't think that we'd have any real difficulty getting two rounds per person.
No.
But the rounds definitely trended longer than we were expecting, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly in comparison to Switzerland, where we had plenty of less than full day rounds, basically. But yeah, so anyway, we get back down to, there are so many place names this episode. Where did we get stuck in the storm?
We get stuck in the storm at Mishima, I think.
I believe you.
Because we need to get from Mishima to Atami.
Yeah.
I believe that that is the case.
Yeah. And that was, well, at first that was like quite bad, but all of our breakthroughs happened there. The one thing that happened, this is a thing that like I've come to learn in my world travels, is that sometimes like 3 to 4:30 p.m. is sometimes not the nicest time to be on train networks because they're filled with school children.
Yes.
Yes. This is what would occur.
And look, school children, look, we were all school children once, maybe.
It's fine to be a school child.
And they're great. They're fine to have that. But as a public transit user, they are often rather loud and rather numerous. So it means that the trains are very busy and very loud, which is by no fault of their own. Because, look, kids, you're welcome to be loud. But it's like this thing that has continuously happened in all sorts of different countries around the world. Like, I remember Toby and I, we dealt with this in Queensland. And we were, like, both traumatized because those kids were really loud.
Yeah, Australian children. What a nightmare.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's what happened here. And it was during the storm. But anyways, so obviously at this point, we decide we need to check our work.
Yes. I mean, it happens pretty quickly. We're on the way back to Mishima. And we're on the train. And that's when we sort of at the same time, like, I'm like, we really need to check South of Ito. And you're like, I'm already doing it. And we were wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this was yet another moment of the thing that, like, I feel like we're all guilty of in retrospect, of course, of just like, there's so many moments in the span of jet lag, hide and seek, where if we had just slowed down a little bit.
Yep.
Take it a moment.
Just be a little careful.
Because, like, we always want to be on the move. We always want to be on a train. We always want to get to the next thing. And I think it always feels bad to, like, especially, like, miss a train that might be heading in the direction we want.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's, like, the time it takes to be more methodical with our work is actually not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences can be massive. And this is a great example of this, where, like, ultimately, if we had just done this back in Atami, we would have saved hours. Ben's run very possibly wouldn't have been ours.
Yeah. I mean, to y'all's credit, this was a strong edge case situation where even with the real life timing that I had available to me, like, you guys had crossed out everything but one station down there. I went as far as I possibly could have gone.
Right.
And so you guys rechecking the timing just opened up that one station, which is the station that I was at.
Just the one.
But, like, it was really close. It was really close. What I had assumed had happened was that you had just, like, maybe drawn the radius a little big, like on your map or something, and you had just barely excluded mine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was maybe part of it in retrospect.
It's part of the situation, yeah.
Because I think we thought we had excluded everything possible. Like, of course, this was due to the combination of how far we thought you could have gotten on that line south of Atami. But, like, through the combination of that and the tentacles thing, I think it looked just intuitively like we had confidently excluded that. Again, because it seemed to us, like, I think on our original work, you could not have even gotten close.
No. So I think that what it was, was that it was like, we thought that we had determined that you couldn't have gotten south of Ito at all.
Right.
That you could not have gotten south of Ito in any way. And our 15-mile tentacles stretched
a good bit south of Ito.
I mean, 6 miles south of Ito.
Yeah.
Like,
and a lot of stations.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stops south of Ito. So we were like, it's not even close. Like, you know, I think that it was like, you couldn't have gotten even to here, and we've eliminated far past that. So it seemed like it was a safe assumption. I mean, obviously it was not, but
yeah,
it was tough stuff.
Yeah. But it was like only just barely not safe, I guess is the point.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, we get stuck on the platform, obviously, because of this storm. Again, a rare instance of trains getting delayed or canceled. But the other thing that happened, I remember for me at this moment, was that I was getting very, very hungry. Because the thing that I do, at least, when it feels like we're about to get near the end of the run, is I'm like, oh, I'll be able to stop on my transit and like buy something nice without delaying time. So I'm not going to eat now because I'm going to be able to eat so soon in a better way.
Yeah.
So I was like starving. So I think I bought like two or three ice creams from the platform vending machine, which huge fan of these ice cream vending machines on the platforms in Japan.
Yeah, those are good.
Good selections.
Those are good ice cream.
Yeah. No, they had this one that was like completely encased in like this waffle kind of crust. It was delightful. So I had like two or three of those. Anyways, but then, yeah, we get back into research mode, fueled up, of course, by the ice cream.
Big time.
And so the first thing that obviously happens is we identify, actually, yes, he could have gotten south.
Yeah.
So I don't think we actually had so much of this on screen, but I was so confident myself, and I was ultimately right, that I would be able to find that building that Ben sent the photo of on Google Maps.
Yeah.
Right. Even though, again, to be clear, we cannot use Google Street View, you can click around Google Maps.
Yeah. Because it was so atypical for the region.
It was a really weird building. And I think this actually isn't in the episode, but there is a period where we're convinced that we've found it on the Gotemba line. Not found it, but we found a building super similar to it. That was part of why we were so confident about the Gotemba line.
Well, it was strange and frustrating because like it had a lot of the characteristics of this rather unique building.
Yeah.
Like I think it was like a community center connected to the station or something.
It was the actual train station, I think. It was like the train station itself really looked like.
Yeah. But it was like similar like wooden kind of
Ashigara
things with an iconic roof. But it was also clear at the photo that it was not the one.
Yeah, it wasn't it.
But it was so close.
But it was so the same vibe.
Our theory for a little bit was like, maybe this is like one of the things that I think we've observed through the seasons is like often the train stations within a geographic region will be similar architectural style.
Yeah.
Because often they've been like built at the same time or something. So like, I think we were thinking for a while, like, okay, maybe it's the next station or the next station. So we like looked at all the stations and stuff like that, but it just didn't look right. And the other thing is we were also going off of the theory of touristy because we were ultimately right about that because we thought this is clearly a nice building. We thought from the photo that it was probably like a restaurant or a cafe or maybe a museum because we saw like the tables and stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And we thought that like, there is nowhere in this region, likely in this region, that was a big enough city to have such a fancy looking restaurant or cafe or something like that,
right,
unless it's touristy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking at places that were like kind of touristy, and there was just nothing on the Gotemba line that looked remotely touristy.
Well, here, Ben, have you even seen this?
Yeah, no. When I was editing this, I went and looked, and I was like, oh, yeah. It's clearly just like a kind of building that they're building out there.
No, it is. I mean, evidently, yeah.
But ultimately, I think I was right, ultimately, that once we had seen, okay, maybe these couple stops are possible.
Right.
It took like minutes.
It was quick. Yeah.
Not even minutes. It was like super easy to find this spot. Which, like, in some ways I feel vindicated because, like, I was right about my confidence of this would be easy to find. It was just been really smart to have applied that to the spots that we had excluded.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's a thing where, like, I think it actually in some ways is like the same thing that happens when you're looking for something that you've lost. And like what you end up doing is like you just keep checking the same four places where you think it is over and over and over again, just like to increasing levels of detail. You're just like, I think it's on the dresser or it's in the drawer or it's in my bag. And you just look in the dresser and the drawer and the bag over, and then you check all of them, and then you're like, oh, I guess I'll check them again. And you just keep looking more and more intensely. And sometimes it turns out that it was in the bag, but most of the time it turns out it's just sitting completely out in the open in a fourth place that you didn't think to look, right?
Yeah.
And the second you think, oh, wait, let me check here, it's right there. And I feel like it's the same thing here, where it's like the few places that were remaining on our map, we just checked them over and over and over and over and over again. And then the second that we were like, wait, let's check over here, immediately, it was like, oh, yeah, it's there.
Yeah. So anyways, we found it.
We found it. I will say I was proud of our end game. I thought that we played a correctly aggressive end game to ensure the game ended in time for both of us to get our runs, which was super important.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we did a tight ship on the end game out of necessity.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the very least, I think sort of by necessity because of the curse that we got.
Yeah.
We went pretty much directly to Ben.
We did.
Which was good. But yeah, so the thing that was a little bit frustrating was how long it took to ultimately get to Ben after confirming the spot. It was like a good upwards of 2 hours, I think, based on like train schedules and the delays and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just sitting feeling frustrated and sad for like 2 hours on the train at that point.
It was a tough situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing where they are and having to wait so long to get to them is very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I mean, in some ways, it was nice to be able to, like, just switch off.
Yeah.
Or in your case, Adam, go back to frantic hiding spot research mode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not our finest hour. But yeah, we already sort of alluded to the end game. So we get there and fairly straightforward in the end.
It's the debut of the 1 mile tentacles.
True.
Which had not been used. I mean, those are honestly designed for when someone's hiding in a dense urban area. They become very effective. Like, the end game in a dense urban area can tend to be kind of OP. And so this is intended to mitigate that. But it just so happened that Izu Kogan had a bizarre number of museums.
Well, again, I think it's the touristy. Yes,
that was sort of its secret weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even for a touristy place, it was crazy.
But it was like, even for a touristy place, I walked past at least 4 or 5 museums. It was really weird. That was a weird aspect of Izu Kogan, for sure.
I think that there were 6 museums within the area around Izu Kogan.
Yeah.
And you compare that to even a place like Yamadera, an even more touristy place. If you search for museums there, there's 3. Like, and that place is much more touristy than Izu Kogan.
Well, it was strange because the entire characteristics of the area I found strange because, like, bajillion museums.
Yeah, no hotels.
No hotels, which was a challenge. Barely any shops, at least like useful shops. It seemed to only be like closed little like knickknack shops and stuff.
Yeah.
But like there was like 1 7-Eleven and that was it. And I guess they were like the place that Ben went for lunch. But by dinner time, by the time that like Ben and I were leaving, everything was closed. And like we were trying to just find like an ATM to be able to get a taxi to a hotel. And we couldn't even find, like, a working ATM.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was spooky and strange and weird and uncomfortable and et cetera. Look, I'm sure it's a very nice place, but I don't know. For some reason, it just gave me the spooks.
It was not the time to be there.
No.
Nighttime there was bizarre.
Yeah.
Should we talk about our hotel?
We could. I mean, is there anything else to say about the round? Not really. You guys caught me in time for Sam to theoretically get another run. If Adams doesn't go too long. So that was a win for you guys. But yeah, it certainly sets the stakes pretty high.
Yep.
The remaining runs. But yeah, I mean, Adam went off to who knows where. We will see next time. And Sam and I, well, we ultimately had to leave town on the train in order to get to a place that had a hotel.
Because we couldn't get a taxi.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get cash. And we tried like 3 different ATMs and none of them would work with our American cards, which I don't know. It must be like the ones, because like I had gotten cash before in like Tokyo, but I guess those are probably more compatible with like internationals. Because again, I didn't see a single Westerner the entire time in this like region.
Nope.
And it's interesting, kind of like it was on this trip, like where we saw Westerners or not. And this was definitely one of the not spots. So we couldn't get cash. So we had to get to a hotel. And that was a challenge because a lot of the hotels were not on the train line.
Well, it was also just like impossible to tell, like, because again, it was out there and rural enough that like the maps were not reliable. Like it was really hard to tell, like, is this a hotel? Is this open? What is this? Like,
yeah,
it was quite hard to tell what was going on.
Yeah.
Where did we end up going?
I don't remember. It was like a couple stops down. But yeah, also like weirdly for how empty the spot was, like almost every hotel was sold out.
Yes.
And literally like every hotel we could find that was like clearly a hotel. Because again, there were all these spots that like they would show up as hotels, but then they like couldn't find a place to book or anything like that. We had told Ben, because like at this point, BTS thing, at this point we were 95% sure we were going to the right spot. So like I had texted Ben, like, if it seems like we are coming to you, I think I said, like, I think it looks like the hotels are almost sold out. So if it looks like we are coming to you, book me a hotel room kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. And so actually what ended up happening is I had found hotels. The place we'd gone, it was a place called Atagawa, which was, yeah, it was like a couple stops down the other way. And I booked two rooms and then they canceled one of them immediately. And we couldn't find any other hotels that had any rooms at all. So we were like, we're just going to go to that town and go to that hotel and see what the situation is. And we went there and they like didn't speak any English at all. There was this woman that they pulled behind the counter to start talking to us. And we were talking to her like the whole time. And eventually we asked her a question. She was like, oh, sorry, I don't work here. I'm just the only person they could find who spoke any English. And we were like, oh, okay.
Which she spoke like perfect English. And I don't know how they found her or how they worked that out. But
it was kind of clutch, kind of clutch. But, you know, look, there was some negotiations back and forth. But ultimately, we got rooms.
But it took like almost a full hour to get the rooms.
It did. Well, they were confused about what was going on.
And I don't even know why they were so confused. Like, clearly part of it was the fact that we had booked with minutes to spare and showed up out of nowhere. Again, I don't think they see Westerners there much. And with only our backpacks, and it was like, we need a place to sleep. But like, we went, and at first they were able to communicate to us like, oh, it's going to cost more for you to stay. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. And it took like 15 minutes to get to this point of just like, yes, you can stay. It's just going to cost more. And so it was like, yeah, we'll pay. But then we just follow the guy.
It was bizarre.
Through like endless spooky hallways.
We had to go into like four different elevators to get to where the room was.
Yeah. It took like, yeah, like 5-10 minutes just to get to the room. And we get there and we're like, okay, now where's the other one? And it's like, no, there's no other one. Which, like, if push come to shove, like, we'll share a room. You're not going to push us onto one of the street. But, like, normally our policy is we get our own rooms because we see enough of each other during the day and all that. But so I go back and it takes, like, a good another, like, 20 to 30 minutes. And then the guy becomes so worried that he didn't get me my amenities.
Because
like, they had brought me to this room that clearly they were not planning to have anyone in it that night or something. So it was only like partially prepped or whatever. And it didn't have the amenities. And the guy, he really wanted to make sure that I got the amenities, like the toothbrush.
Yeah, they take their amenities very seriously.
Yeah. So like when I left to go to the 7-Eleven to get dinner, which needless to say was the only place remotely open where we could get food, he like chased me down. It's like, I have your bag of amenities. And then the rooms, like, we can't convey this properly just through audio, but spooky. They were spooky.
What was the name of this hotel? Can I see what the rooms looked like? Because I have only heard parts of this story.
Well, I feel like I want to say the name of the hotel so that Adam can look at it, but I feel like we should bleep it.
Okay, bleep it.
I agree.
Because we're speaking ill of it. And they were, and I truly can't express this enough, so nice. They were so nice.
No, they were. Yeah, they were.
It is not their fault.
Overly so.
The thing is, this is one of the many, many, many buildings that was built in Japan in the 1980s and then not touched ever again.
Yes. So, like, it was clearly a very nice hotel.
In the 80s.
Like, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was like a time capsule. And like for me, made it spookier was like it was one of these onsen hotels. I think that's the right term, right? Like the spa hotels.
Yes. Yeah, because they had like saunas and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the exact same thing that Ab and I had stayed in the night before that we talked about last episode in Narita, but just like not even remotely as nice. So it meant that we would just like wander the hallways that were like all like dimly lit at the night. And there were just like randomly like old Japanese men looking at us strangely because, again, clearly not a place that many young American boys stay in.
Nope.
I think it's interesting that you said young American boys, as in like lots of young American girls might be there.
Yeah, whatever.
I think unlikely.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. And then, okay, here's the last thing I think. So we do our whole overnight. So we arrived at the hotel originally at like, I want to say 7:30 p.m. or so. We leave the hotel at, what, like 7 a.m. the next morning?
Yeah, something like that.
And as we are leaving, we realize that the people at the desk, it's the exact same people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what kind of ship they're running over there, but they seem tired. And actually, the owner of the hotel drove us personally in his van back to the train station.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, my gosh.
He, in fact, insisted upon it. He would not let us not do that.
No, he would not let us walk.
Wow.
I think they were all, like, very concerned for our well-being or something and, like, thought that, like, something had gone wrong or I don't know.
The thing is, whenever we show up after a day of jet lag, it looks like something has gone wrong.
No, I mean, that makes
sense. Yeah, right. I mean, because in fairness, on this day it did, but
Wait, what was the name of the hotel? We can bleep it, but what was it called?
I texted it to you.
You texted it to me. Oh, okay.
I mean, it probably will look better in photos than in person, to be honest, but
it does. In fact, in photos, it looks perfectly reasonable. We were just, I guess, in a spooky part of it or something. Who could say?
I think a lot of this was more so my reaction to it than the reality of it. But, like, again, this region was just pitch black.
Oh, yeah. It looks nice in the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't look like that in real life.
But, again, the region was, like, pitch black. Part of it was just, like, my anxiety was up because I thought, like, I was not going to have a place to sleep. There was, like, nothing open. There was nobody anywhere on the streets. And out of this void of, like, humanity, we enter this kind of spooky backrooms, Japanese, Anyway.
Well, I just very frequently think of, you know that SpongeBob episode where he ends up in, like, the abyss where, like, he doesn't speak the language and he can't get a bus?
In Rock Bottom.
I very frequently feel that feeling when we're, like, out in the middle of nowhere playing jet lag and we're like, no one here speaks our language. We might not have a place to stay. We don't know what we're doing at all. It's a frightening feeling, but it usually works out.
Yeah, usually. It's the thing. This is the risk we take. It just often actually works out better than I think I or anyone would expect in terms of our ability to quickly get a hotel room at moment's notice. This was one of the spookier experiences up there with when Toby and I think I told this story on the podcast and another one where I don't think the story does it justice, where like we rocked up to Palmerston North and the hotel innkeeper just like interrogated us for like 30 minutes and kept being like, this is so strange. Like he kept repeating that like over and over.
Right. Well, we've talked about in New Zealand, like Ben's in my hotel towards the very bottom of the North Island. They like thought the fact that we had booked like 30 minutes before we showed up was the funniest thing that had happened in their entire lives.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Anyway, that's about that. I think that's honestly the last unique hotel experience that at least I was party to this season. So that might be the end of our hotel stories. But yeah, that one was some.
Hey guys, you know what I'm realizing?
Yeah.
This is episode five.
Sounds right.
I believe that people have the home game now.
Do they?
And have had it for about a week. The first 500, I think, have it now.
Oh, cool.
I hope there's no spelling errors.
Yeah, and if there are, I'm sure we'll know very quickly.
Oh, God, I hope people like it.
I hope they like it. I hope they're having fun with it. I hope I get to see what people are doing with it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, tag us. But anyways, we have lots of action to come. Adam goes somewhere, like in most episodes.
I certainly go somewhere. I suppose I shouldn't say much
Probably not.
No. The next round is quite interesting, though. Quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Any parting thoughts?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Yep.
Etc.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.